This is Jay Sekulow. More emails, more problems.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A new investigation by the Associated Press revealing that over half of the private meetings Mrs. Clinton had scheduled while she was Secretary of State, well, turns out that they were with major Clinton Foundation donors.
Here's the campaign's official statement from spokesman Brian Fallon, quote, "This story relies on utterly flawed data. It cherry-picked a limited subset of Secretary Clinton's schedule to give a distorted portrayal of how often she crossed paths with individuals connected to charitable donations to the Clinton Foundation."
And we're talking about multi-millions of dollars in donations. Those 85 contributed as much as $156 million combined. At least 40 of those people donated more than $100,000 each, and 20 out of those 40, half, gave at least $1 million.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think all we would ask is that people don't cherry pick, 100-something meetings and then say that half of them were with Clinton Foundation donors at the exclusion of 1,700 other meetings.
What we already know is that Doug Band was soliciting favors. Sometimes his emails labeled them a favor on behalf of wealthy clients. Look, the Clinton Foundation, or Mrs. Clinton, did not have conflicts of interest. The whole thing, what she is a conflict of interest that created a foundation around it, had her State Department. A lot of these people that were paying Bill Clinton hefty fees for his speeches had business before the state. That's not a coincidence. That was inevitable under their model. And then they allowed special employee status for Cheryl Mills and so forth, who I believe at one point was working for State, the foundation, and Teneo, which is Doug Band's consulting company. That's the point. It is a conflict of interest around which was built a structure for funneling money.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so the Associated Press, pretty credible news source, reports that 50% of the people Hillary Clinton met with happened to be donors of the Clinton Foundation. Now, this has gotten quite a stir nationally. The headline in the New York Times, Clinton Foundation donors get FaceTime with her at state. Wall Street Journal, as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton hosted a dinner at a Ukrainian donor to the Family Foundation. Fox News, multiple donors to Clinton Foundation met with her while at state. Washington Post, Boston Herald, ABC News, new documents show Clinton Foundation donors sought access to state. USA Today editorial ball, mothball the Clinton Foundation. The conflict of interest obviously getting more significant as moments go by. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Reaction on this is stiff. It looks like pay to play. This is just the beginning of this latest dump of emails. There are more coming. And as Logan said, more emails, more problems. That was his idea to caption this today. But Jordan, this presents quite a legal issue for the Clinton Foundation.
Absolutely, because she signed all this document saying that there would not be this conflict of interest. Now her campaign has had to come out and say, well, we're not going to take foreign donations, which, by the way, Donald Trump is right. There's so many loopholes in that because there's so – even the Clinton Foundation has all these other international, kind of like we do at ACLJ, that they could still take the foreign donations through. So that's not going to prevent any of these foreign leaders and foreign money individuals, the big business people from out of this country to donate. But I think the biggest part about this is how the Clinton campaign has said this is misleading. This story came not from Fox News, not from the Washington Times, not from conservative radio shows or Christian media. It came from the Associated Press, which basically, right, for the most part, not always perfect, but they report the news. They don't take positions. They don't take sides. Their job is just to tell you what's going on. If they come out and say that half the meetings that Secretary of State Clinton had, her own personal meetings, we're not talking about other staff, just her meetings, half of those meetings were with Clinton Foundation donors. Folks, we know this is pay to play, and we know it was working. Now, if you made a large donation, you could go see Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
There's also been reports that, and I don't know if this is accurate, we're going to find out, that the FBI is investigating the Clinton Foundation on this issue. We're going to get more on that. Then there's the Huma Abedin matter. Ready for this? Classified documents left on the front seat of the car in India. Not Indiana, in India. All right, Logan, tell everybody how they can get involved here.
Yes, you can join us right now, 1-800-684-3110. Only one line open right now, though, because this is a hot topic. You can join us each and every day on Facebook and Periscope, broadcasting live right there, right now. Get your comments in that way, or also on ACLJ.org. Right now, come on over and become part of the conversation.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Associated Press, more than half of the people outside the government who met with Hillary Clinton while she was serving as Secretary of State gave money to the Clinton Foundation, 50%. That does not include, by the way, the Crown Prince of Bahrain, who had to give money to finally get his meeting, so he only gave $32 million to the Clinton Foundation. This is creating a big stir in Washington and around the country. So I'm gonna posit the question here, and this is what I want people to comment on and think about. If it is anybody else, if it was anybody else, would they still be the Secretary of State of the United States if this was going on? I think the answer to that is unequivocally no, they would not. If it was anybody else, would they be the nominee for President of the United States? I think the answer is not. They would not be. The problem is, or the issue is, we are in the most unusual of political seasons, to say the least.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, so instead of the focus being there on Hillary Clinton yesterday, the focus, I mean, from afternoon on, because Donald Trump had to cancel one event, appeared with Senator Jeff Sessions at another one in Texas last night, and then did Sean Hannity a town hall because he indicated a potential shift on his immigration stance, which has been very tough. We're going to get into it in the second half hour of the broadcast. But I brought it up now just to highlight how every time something about Hillary Clinton has come out, the Trump campaign has, unfortunately, in my opinion, in their campaign strategy, decided to make a shift that is so headline grabbing. And this one was substantive. Yeah. This was not just about, you know, what he said in an event or an offhanded remark. Right. This is substantive policy. Yeah. And so it takes away the nightly focus where Hannity and others would have been hammering Hillary Clinton. So would CNN, so would the MSNBC. Everybody would have had to talk about, except for Donald Trump indicating a potential huge shift on the number one issue of his primary campaign.
Yeah, a lot of people chiming in. A lot of the corruption words going around a lot. That's coming in from Joe and from Kelly and from Randy. A lot of people, this is the words of the day. Randy said they will not do anything to her no matter what she does. It seems she's already proven she is above the law.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, Brian Fallon's tweeting out that Donald Trump donated to the Clinton Foundation as well. So there you go. So we, you know, we're going to be fair here. Than, let me get your comments on this kind of reaction. Then I want to get to some calls. We got a couple that are posing. In fact, we'll take Tony's calls first, Logan, when we come back from talking to Than here. Than, how is this playing out? I mean, I don't see any legal action happening. Although, like I said, if she was the sitting Secretary of State, she wouldn't be the Secretary of State any longer.
Well, if Donald Trump donated to the Clinton Foundation, I wonder if he got a face-to-face meeting with the Secretary of State, because it seems like everybody else that made a donation did. Jay, I think before this AP report, the list of coincidences, so to speak, was already so long that everybody knew it was pay to play. But now the hard data shows that if you wanted a meeting with the Secretary, you did have to donate to the Clinton Foundation. And again, the data does not even include officials of foreign governments like the Crown Prince of Bahrain. There were a number of those as well. The State Department, the Clinton Foundation, they were one and the same, Jay.
Yeah, I think it was an extension of this. I think the Clinton Foundation's government affairs office was the State Department. We have a government affairs office. Dan runs it. It's not the State Department. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls here.
Let's go to Tony in Decatur, Illinois.
Hey, Tony.
Can you hear me?
We hear you great.
It seems to me like you guys don't want Hillary Clinton to be president. I want to know how come you're always bashing her.
Well, Tony, do you listen to this broadcast? Do you listen to our broadcast often?
Every day.
Well, then you heard we got flack last week because we were pretty tough on Donald Trump, as Jordan was just about to be a few moments ago. So what we do on this broadcast is we don't endorse the candidates. We talk about where we think they're right policy-wise and where they think they're wrong. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's okay? Do you find it acceptable, Tony, maybe you do, and it's a free country, that 50% of the people the Secretary of State met with happened to be donors of the Clinton Foundation? Does that bother you?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, that's all. It bothers you a little bit. It bothers other people a lot. And this is a free country, and you have a right to be bothered a little bit. Some people, it's a lot more than that. All right, let's take another call and comment.
All right, let's go to Patrick in Long Island.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes, hello, Jay.
What exit on the Long Island Expressway?
Yes, exactly.
Where? Where do you live in Long Island?
Near Port Jeff.
Okay. I'm a Jericho guy. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about cherry-picking data. This is not cherry-picking data. Like the evolutionists would cherry-pick one small
section
of DNA.
No, this is not cherry-picking. This is an analysis that the AP did. Now, the Clinton Foundation's trying to spin it another way, which, you know, I guess if I was, I might be trying to spin it another way too. But what Patrick's bringing up here is was this data cherry picked? This is the Associated Press.
Yeah, it's not cherry picked. They looked at every single meeting. Yeah. She has to publicly release those, and they took every single meeting. So when you're a public official like that, you don't get to have private meetings. There could be classified briefings. That doesn't count, but those would be from government individuals. These were from people, all of the meetings from people who were not working for the U.S. government or other governments. So they looked at, again, who met with Secretary of State Clinton. It's all public knowledge. And then they said, okay, we now have that list of people. Let's compare it to the Clinton Foundation donors, which the Clinton Foundation decides on their own.
Right.
They don't have to, but they release that information. So the AP just took that, compared it, and said, okay, more than half of the people who had private sit-downs with Secretary of State Clinton, not just a meeting at the State Department, but they actually met with Hillary Clinton, more than half of those people were major donors to the Clinton Foundation, which leads everyone to believe, as we've been discussing, that to get a meeting with Hillary Clinton, it's pay to play. Because, yeah, there are some people on this list that have gotten a meeting regardless.
Of course.
But they got one a lot quicker. We now know some of these crown princes and others, they were able to get in immediately rather than have to wait a month or two.
Let me put this into a legal context for you. So ethically, lawyers are supposed to avoid even the appearance of a conflict of interest, in the appearance of an impropriety. And here's the problem. And I'm going to play this. Hillary Clinton is very proud of the work of the Clinton Foundation. It doesn't mean they haven't done good things, by the way. So let me play that for you and set the tone for this. This is number 40.
I'm really proud of the Clinton Foundation. I am proud of the work that it does. And there is absolutely no connection between anything that I did as Secretary of State and the Clinton Foundation.
Okay, that is a complete falsehood. Now, let's give her this. I'm really proud of the Clinton Foundation. She's right to be proud of it. I am proud of the work that it does. I think they probably have done some really good things on education and other things. And there's absolutely no connection between anything that I did as Secretary of State and the Clinton Foundation. What planet is she living in? I mean, let's be realistic here. Okay? Cheryl Mills, her chief of staff, was interviewing senior executives to be hired by the Clinton Foundation. They said, well, Cheryl Mills did that in her own time. She was an employee of the State Department at the highest level. Same thing with Huma Abedin. So this whole idea that there's no connection is a narrative falsehood. And this is, again, Matt Lee, Associated Press, who broke the story about the 50 donors, and Mark Toner from the State Department.
One of your colleagues said that the State Department was sure that there was no impropriety involved in any of the contacts between this building and the foundation. Is that still the case?
That is still our belief, yes. So there was no impropriety, that this was simply, you know, evidence of the way the process works, and in that any Secretary of State has aides who are getting emails or contacts by a broad range of individuals and organizations.
So, Than, you worked in government for the House of Representatives, for a congressman, where you were getting a lot of emails. And I'm sure emails requesting meetings. But the differential here was it wasn't from a foundation that was supporting the rest of your family on this. I mean, this whole idea that, of course, you're the Secretary of State, you get emails. That's not breaking news. It's the way in which you got access to the Secretary of State that is the problem here. That's the real problem here. How access was obtained.
Those requests that I received, Jay, were made through formal channels, and I'm glad you made that analogy, because when you go back to the Crown Prince of Bahrain, it is a perfect analogy. The Crown Prince had made a request through a formal channel, and to go back to what Jordan said, he probably deserved a meeting, Jay. That formal request probably should have landed a meeting, but Hillary Clinton was on those chains, Uma Abedin was on those chains, and those formal requests failed. They failed, Jay, to land him a meeting. Only after he made a donation to the Clinton Foundation did fantastically he was able to get in and see their Secretary of State. So yep. This involves people that should have met with the Secretary, that should not have met with the Secretary, but the bottom line is most of them did not get in until they made a donation. The pay-to-play evidence here, the Clintons can say whatever they want. There is a pile of evidence now, yep. And they can say it as long as they want. We don't have to believe
it. So what are we hearing, Logan, from our folks on Facebook and Periscope?
A lot of people obviously are disenfranchised. Gene said the FBI has been bought and tucked in Hillary's pocket. What is happening to America allows us to go on. Beverly Jones, and a lot of people have asked, why is she getting special treatment, and what does the foundation even do? That's from Lisa.
Well, we'll get a policy statement up from what the Clinton Foundation does. We'll have it for after the break. But here's a question there's been some speculation in the press that the FBI is actually investigating the Clinton Foundation and some of this. I don't have any evidence. Do we have any evidence of that other than a couple of reports coming in, Will? Yeah, and the FBI is going to never announce when there's an
investigation. You know, the Clinton Foundation does a whole host of activities, you know, that are good, non-governmental affairs, kind of, you know, work right. In Haiti, though, of course, they wanted to then install their friend who worked for them in Haiti as the prime minister. So it's always kind of like a 50-50. But most of it is they raise the money and then give it out to other charitable groups. Second part of that, though, they have a whole other wing, a policy wing. And that's where a lot of this money flows into their staff. This is why Cheryl Mills and all of them keep going back and forth. It's where they make the most money, is when they work for the foundation, not for the State Department.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Hey, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign last week here. We're about $26,000 behind, so we've really picked up the gap. You could help us, ACLJ.org. By the way, the case of Asia Bibi in Pakistan, now set for an argument before the Supreme Court of Pakistan. That's some good news. We don't have a date yet, but our teams are working on it. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for, and that can make a huge difference. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So 50% of the meetings with Hillary Clinton are tied to the Clinton Foundation. I would wish I could say I was shocked. I'm not. In my mind, from a legal perspective, it raises a host of conflict of interest issues, policy issues. Jordan mentioned that there's a policy wing of the Clinton Foundation where a lot of the staff from the State Department kind of went back and forth. We've got a lot of calls coming in. We're going to talk about also Huma Abedin and the situation in India. And Jordan, you just got something?
Well, no, I mean, in Huma Abedin's case, she never even stopped getting paid. By the member, she was still getting paid
by the
Clinton Foundation, that policy wing. So she was making a lot more money from the foundation while she was working at the State Department than she was getting paid, obviously, in a government salary. Yep.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. We're going to try to get as many calls. We've got so many calls coming in. Let's grab as many calls as we can here.
All right, let's go to Chris in L.A.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jay, I wanted to let you know, as a musician in L.A.
Oh, there you go.
Slam and musicianship. You there?
What do you play?
Oh, guitar.
There you go. Good for you.
Yeah, killer musicianship. Very impressive. But I was going to comment that last night I was listening to CNN, and they had a woman on there commenting on the fact that the Clinton, and you kind of already hit on this, but the Clinton organization is not just about political.
Right.
And to me, it kind of reeks of what we hear from Planned Parenthood a lot of time, where, you know, none of our funding that we receive goes towards abortion. Really, that's interesting. And I feel like, how do you discern that all this money that's coming in is not helping, you know, or like you're saying, pay
its way. Here's the thing. I think there's no doubt that some of the things the Clinton Foundation does, they do some good things. And like the ACLJ, they've got offices all over the globe, and I think that they're doing, I'm sure they do some good things. Here's the problem. They have a policy arm as well, and that's where you're right, Chris. It's just like Planned Parenthood. And here's the difficulty. It seems like when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, to get access to her, for a substantive meeting, so that you could say, I've met with the Secretary. I mean, Jordan and I have met with the Secretary of State. We've been in meetings, meeting with Hillary Clinton at the meeting. Yeah. We've met with ambassadors.
Not one-on-one, though.
Not one-on-one.
Even during Saeed situation. Yeah. So, you know what? I mean, that tells me a lot. She actually never met with the families of the Americans imprisoned by and held hostage by Iran. It was actually Secretary Kerry and his team who took much more aggressive steps. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, on Secretary Clinton, yes, some people of the State Department tried to, you know, take this issue up, but she did not do nearly enough in her position. And we actually thought that, you know, she may have been the most helpful, and she was actually did the least because she wasn't focused on that. She was focused on her next campaign for president at that point.
And that became very obvious. All right, let's grab another call here, Logan.
All right. Alicia's calling from Oklahoma.
Alicia, go ahead.
Okay. My question is this. If Hillary is under investigation, why is she still able to run for president?
Well, when you're under investigation, it does not disqualify you from running for president of the United States. In fact, if you were indicted, it does not disqualify you from running for president of the United States. She has not been indicted. The FBI closed the investigation on her. And, Than, what's stirring now is, I guess, what's kind of the congressional update on this, Than? Where the FBI was given notification by the Oversight Committee or the House Committee on the issue of the misstatements under oath that Hillary Clinton gave. What's the status of that?
Well, a couple of things. The House Judiciary Committee next month, Jay, will have hearings with the FBI president to pursue whether or not Hillary Clinton perjured herself in front of Congress. I think it's abundantly evident that she did. But secondarily, you talked about the reports, and there haven't been many of them, but the reports that the FBI may have wanted to look into the Clinton Foundation and the Attorney General stood in the way. Senator Cornyn, at least for one, he believes that that may have been the case. He has asked the Attorney General to respond. Her response is due to him, Jay, to this letter by tomorrow. If he does not get a response, he has said that he would want to call her up to ask about that as well. Basically, to get to the bottom line, did the FBI want to investigate the Clinton Foundation or not?
Well, you know, the reports were the three offices of the FBI wanted to do the investigation. The problem is, and this is the way it's set up, the Department of Justice is the boss. The FBI's division within the Department of Justice. And if the Attorney General says no investigation, guess what happens? No investigation. So it'll be interesting to see the response to John Cornyn's letter, Senator Cornyn. But the fact of the matter is it's problematic. I mean, the Attorney General can say no, she has. It looks like they're protecting. They are. And remember what I said at the beginning of this? emails from Hillary Clinton on the private server went to Barack Obama as president of the United States. Guess what? She was never going to be indicted. All right, let's go ahead and get another call.
All right, let's go to Linda in South Carolina.
Hey, Linda.
Yes, I was wondering. They law states nobody's above the law. Okay. Now, we have people such as General Petraeus and other military personnel who've been held accountable for classified and unclassified information.
Right.
But yet, you know, Clinton keeps stonewalling.
Well, here's the thing on classified information. We're going to talk about this. There's a report today that Huma Abedin, we're going to talk about in the next segment of the broadcast, mishandled classified information that was marked classified in India. And we're going to get into the details of that in the next segment of the broadcast, or in the next half hour. So stay tuned for that. You won't miss it. We do have an announcement to make. There is an ongoing situation that we need to make everybody aware of.
That's right. There's an ongoing attack right now, and we're getting reports from various reporters, also professors inside at the American University in Kabul, Afghanistan. This is kind of a symbol of America's presence in many different countries around the world, oftentimes in difficult locations. One of the two most well-known of these universities would be in Cairo and then in Lebanon as well. So in Egypt and Lebanon, but we have one in Kabul, Afghanistan. This is an ongoing attack. There's been reports of bombings, hostages being taken, people fleeing. We don't have a casualty
count. We'll keep everybody posted.
But this has obviously been breaking over the last hour, and they're starting to get reports. And most of the professors there and many of the staff are American.
Yeah, that's what they call an American university. So this could be a significant issue. We will keep you posted. That's why we're on Facebook. That's why we're on Twitter. We will keep you posted. Like our Facebook page, like Jordan, my Twitter page, like the ACLJ's Facebook page and mine as well. And Jordan, we'll give you up-to-date information. Logan, let's try to grab a comment in here, and then we'll grab a call. And we're going through these calls rather quickly because we want to talk about the immigration issue. I want to talk about the situation with Huma Abedin as well.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Clay in Durham, North Carolina.
All right, Clay, you're on.
Hey, Brother Jay, how are you? Long time no talk to.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, I just would like to make a small comment. I know you've got a lot of calls, and I know you got a lot of people trying to get in. My thing is, why is she being allowed to have this happen? Why is this being allowed to continue on? Why are people questioning, like the first guy, Brother Tony, why is he saying that we're bashing? Did people not understand
to lay out, you know, Clay, what we do here is we lay out the evidence. I mean, and we're going to talk about this immigration issue with Donald Trump because we think this has raised a couple of issues that need to be addressed. But why is this happening? I think, look. There's news every day. Logan came up with a headline today that we use for Facebook. More emails, more problems. And the question is, Logan, and you're a media guy, is there so much of this every day that it just rolls off because there's so much?
Eventually it becomes numb. It's what happens with all news cycles. If there's just so much of it, eventually it becomes the who cares scenario. And I think you're starting to see that.
Yeah, especially from her supporters. So, you know, Jordan, the question is, does this move any of her supporters?
Not her supporters.
But independents.
Independents, yes. Except that, you know, oftentimes every time this seems to come out about Hillary Clinton, I mean, we've had this now day after day after day for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Donald Trump makes a move that in last night's move on immigration, which was more substantive about policy, that is the main headline grabber. And it is significant because it signaled potentially a shift. So that's important, I think, to point out is that it will be a factor that Hillary Clinton has to deal with. Her campaign wouldn't try to discredit it if not.
Yep. All right, so we're going to talk about coming up on the next half hour. We're going to get into the Donald Trump statement on immigration. What does that mean? We want your comments on that. 1-800-684-3110. We will play some of the sound on that as well, but we'll want you to fully engage. Also, our matching challenge campaign. We're only $26,000 behind where we were last year. You can help make us up today at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know right now the multiple ways you can get this broadcast.
Join us right now, 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard. But you can also listen to the rest of the show online if your station doesn't carry it. Now, many stations do, and SiriusXM does, but they don't carry the full hour JSEC here live. You can get it right now on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. We are broadcasting live in all those sources right now on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for JSEC here live.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We've been talking about 50% of the visits that Hillary Clinton received as Secretary of State was from people that donated to the Clinton Foundation. I will say this. Jordan and I were in a large meeting with Hillary Clinton once at a swearing-in of the Religious Liberty Ambassador.
Lots of State Department meetings.
And a lot of State Department meetings with the Saeed Abedini matter. Never a meeting with Hillary Clinton. Never had Hillary Clinton have a meeting with the Abedini family. Never took place.
No, there was not a lot of action. There were plenty of people, ambassadors even at the State Department, who were trying to get the attention of the Secretary of State. Didn't happen until Secretary Kerry came in. We always have thanked him. He actually made it more of a priority. I don't like his position on the nuclear deal with Iran, but he at least made the Americans a priority and ultimately had a meeting scheduled, you know, with President Obama and the families of these Americans.
All right, let's say this. I think we've got to be fair here. We need to talk about the kind of the most recent action on the Donald Trump situation, which was getting news, and then all this happened this morning, and that was on the immigration stand. So I want to go to Jordan first, then Than, and kind of get a sense. Let's play. Yeah. Let me play the sound. This to be fair. Let's play the sound. This was Donald Trump. Was this last night on Sean Hannity? Okay, here we go.
I had a meeting with great people, great Hispanic leaders, and there certainly can be a softening because we're not looking to hurt people. We want people. We have some great people in this country. We have some great, great people in this country. But we're going to follow the laws of this country. We have very, very strong laws.
Yeah, but
nobody
Obama doesn't follow them. He doesn't
care. They don't follow them. Yeah. But we're going to follow the laws.
All right, Jordan.
All right, so to be fair to everybody out there, he did not back away at all. He's not backing away from building a wall. He's not backing away from potential bans on those who may share views and beliefs coming into the country or getting visas. He's not backing away from
that. He said he's going to apply the laws.
Right. Except for you can't soften on this issue and apply the existing laws because the existing laws don't make any exceptions for people who may have been brought here as children, the Dreamers as they're called. There's no laws that exist that make exceptions for them to be able to stay. So if you were to follow the letter of the law right now, regardless of how you feel on this issue, you'd have to deport them. I'm not sure that's the right position, by the way.
But you have
to come out with a policy position that is clear before you get to a presidential debate, which is coming down the road very quickly with Hillary Clinton. And his supporters, remember, the immigration and being so tough on this and this hard line, which he still tried to use last night, was the number one reason he won the Republican primary.
Apparently it was.
So now I think he does realize, yes, I have to expand past that, as we've been talking about. I'm not sure this was the best issue, taking on the Dreamer cause. Hillary Clinton owns this. She's not just promised a path to legal status. She's promising a path to citizenship. So if you're voting on that issue,
you're going to be voting with
Hillary Clinton.
So, which begs the question, of course, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that have, and we want to have your comments on this. How do you feel about Donald, the shift here on the immigration issue, all subtle as it is? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, maybe not so subtle. Where Donald Trump is correct, there are laws on the books that have not been enforced yet. There have been a lot of deportations under Barack Obama. There were a lot of deportations under George W. Bush. The fact is, the problem is that Donald Trump ran on a very strong anti-immigrant kind of status. And does that now, you think this is part, we talked about this during the break, you think this is part of a pivot to the middle here or a pivot to a policy position?
Well, I think this is evidence of the failure to get details out early enough. And I agree with Jordan that I actually don't think his final plan will be softening, but he did get a little bit undisciplined in his comments here, and that's getting him in trouble. Here's what I suspect. I suspect when this plan is rolled out that it will attack the president for the executive orders on the Dreamers, like Jordan was talking about, and it will commit to working with Congress on a resolution to that issue. Now, I think Donald Trump's position will contrast with Hillary Clinton's on it, but I think either way he will commit to going through the legislative process, which goes beyond the immigration issue, and that's really where President Obama stepped in it and where Hillary Clinton has doubled down on it. So I actually think his position when it's rolled out will be pretty strong, but he got out ahead of it this week.
All right, folks, we're going to take more calls and comments. Logan's going to let you know how you're going to engage in this. We're going to talk about the immigration issue. We're going to talk about the situation with Huma Abedin coming up. So we've got a lot more ahead. Logan's letting you know how you engage. Phone lines are jammed.
That's right. There are no lines open right now, but I'm sure some will. 1-800-684-3110. Or give us a call or join us on Facebook and Periscope. Broadcasting live for that right now. Just search for Jay Sekulow or just facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can get your comments in that way.
All right, folks, don't forget our matching challenge campaign. We're closing that gap from last year about down to about 26,000 donation differential, so you could really help us there. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. See a BB's case in Pakistan. Going to go to the Supreme Court of Pakistan. Some good news on that front. Back with more in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, so Fox News says Trump, quote, is open to softening, this is the headline, immigration laws. He said this on Hannity last night. Now, I don't know if it's exactly a softening, maybe a shift, but we've got some calls coming in. Let's go to Pam's call, and we'll talk about it.
All right, Pam's calling in Macon, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Pam.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, turn your radio down, please, Pam.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Go ahead with my question.
Well, yes. All right, Pam, we'll come back to you. Let's check on her connection. Let's go to Paula in Dallas.
Hey, Paula. Line three.
I'm sorry. When you approach BDS students on the college campuses and ask them to justify or explain why they're boycotting Israel, what do they say, and where is their tolerance? It's their right to
Well, they have no tolerance. I mean, they have no tolerance. I'm being a very high-level meeting. I will tell you next week that you're calling about the boycott, divest, and sanction, this anti-Israel. Remember, we're in federal court on that issue right now, where Palestinian activists have sued American and Israeli foundations that are involved with Israel. We are defending one of those foundations on a major lawsuit where they've been sued by these Palestinian activists. So this anti-Israel bias ties into this national movement, this national BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanction. So when you support the ACLJ, we are working exactly on that point. We're going to be in a big series of meetings next week, actually, in New York, dealing with this. We've got a whole team, probably five lawyers now, working on that issue. Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan, if we can.
Julie's calling in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, Julie, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. I am donating during your matching challenge.
Great.
I love the work you guys do.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
I have a comment and a question.
Sure.
My comments are I am adding two new words to the legal lexicon.
All right.
The famous dumb blonde defense, where Hillary said, gee, I didn't know my emails would put America's security at risk. And the Clinton caveat, you know, you say the abortion distortion, I call it the Clinton caveat.
Yeah.
All the rules apply unless you're a Clinton.
Well, I mean, apparently that's the case. I mean, I can't imagine if this was anybody else, they'd be getting away with this.
I mean, it's, you could say, as some have analyzed, they get away with murder. And this is back in their days of Whitewater and the people who were mysteriously, everybody was, you know, executing themselves or killing themselves. Oh, it was suicide and the bullets don't match the right way. The gun wasn't pointed the right way. Oh, no big deal. Planes crashing into mountains, carrying people, very important government officials that may have known information. I mean, they are, again, they're extremely powerful. No holds bar.
Yeah.
That's how they've gotten to where the most powerful positions in the U.S. government. And I'm not even sure they would not like that characterization, because it's why Hillary Clinton is seen as someone that would be tougher
than President Obama when it comes to dealing with world leaders, yeah, is because they've got a reputation as being pretty tough yeah, partners.
Not getting a lot of calls or comments on the immigration issue, it
appears. I think the Trump supporters are a little scared. And they're not sure exactly what to say because he's kind of back and forth on it. And this is when you start getting nervous again if you're a Trump supporter, because he had this very clear position, enforce the laws, and now he's saying maybe don't enforce the laws or change the laws, which would be very similar to what Hillary Clinton has proposed, which is the Dreamers issue. And there was opportunity. There are plenty of Republican candidates that support this.
Right.
He was not one that you expected did. He never really made a clear position on it, but he talks so tough on immigration. He's the one that attracted that group to him and his rallies. It's why he won the Republican primary. That was the number one issue. Any kind of headline, like Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Fox News, he's having to go on Sean Hannity to explain it. People are trying to figure out, is he going to say that he misspoke, or is he going to say that he was just talking and just thinking out loud, or is he really going to propose a real policy here?
All right, we're going to take your calls on this immigration issue, and also Huma Abedin and some classified information. So Logan's going to give you the number. We got some phone lines now open because we've rapidly gone through them. Let's go ahead and get people to call. We'll talk about the immigration. We're talking about Huma Abedin. This is a pretty unbelievable story. Go ahead.
That's right. Call in right now, 1-800-684-3110. I'll say it again, 1-800-684-3110. 1-0. We got about four lines open because we just cleared a bunch of them. Let's go ahead and take the next call. Let's go to Arnold, who is calling on line six.
Hi, Arnold.
Hi, Jake. Guys doing human works.
Thanks.
Hey, in regards to whether the foundations are doing good works around the globe as they purport that they are, isn't that still fruit from a poisonous tree?
Well, I mean, it taints their work. I mean, you've got the USA Today is calling for. Let me read the headline. I mean, the USA Today is calling for, this is what they say, mothball the Clinton Foundation. This is the USA Today's official statement on mothball the Clinton Foundation. So there's a lot of concern out there that the Clinton Foundation, basically his public policy arm, their government affairs office, was the State Department.
Yeah, let's be clear. The reason why the USA Today editorial calls for this is because they want Hillary Clinton to win.
Right.
I mean, they're liberals. I mean, that's fair to say that most editorial boards, but for the Wall Street Journal and major U.S. newspapers, are far to the left.
Yep.
They want Hillary Clinton to win. This is now becoming a serious issue for Hillary Clinton, and it can continue to grow. So they're saying, just close it down for your time as president. It's not appropriate because we don't, and that would end the issue once and for all.
Isaac had a comment and said, would a special prosecutor actually be a possibility?
Let me tell you the problem. I think a special prosecutor would be a good idea to look at this. It's not a possibility because, number one, it's going to be instituted by the president. That's not going to happen. Or the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. It's not going to happen. So politically, the clock's just running out on this thing. I mean, that's kind of the reality of what we've got.
Yeah, I fully agree with Donald Trump that there should be a special prosecutor. I also say there's no chance of it. And just very quickly, I mean, if you care primarily about the good work of the Clinton Foundation, as so many people claim to have been, you would have built a hard and clear firewall between the two, and they didn't do that. So any good work that goes out the door is because of that lack of a firewall, not because of anything else.
All right, let's go ahead and take Dan on line three, Logan.
All right, Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, Dan.
Colorado.
Hi, Jay. I think that Mr. Trump was smart enough to know when he said, you know, back in the primaries that he was going to deport all these people, that it really wasn't practical to deport 13, 40, 50, however many million there really are in the country. I think he kind of knew that, but was, you know, stirring people up and letting them know, hey, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to do something serious.
Well, do you think it's okay? Let me ask you this, Dan. From a strategy standpoint, you think it's okay to kind of sound up like you're, you know, say that you're going to deport 12 million people? I'm not sure he ever really said that, though. I mean, that direct.
He definitely indicated he was going to be he was going to be knocking down the doors.
Yeah. I mean, and it's okay to then pivot to we're not?
Well, I think he's rephrasing it now by saying, we're going to go after the ones that have committed crimes.
Well, I mean, I think priorities.
You got 12 million people you have to prioritize. I'm not so focused on that. What I'm focused on is his potential shift, Dan, on the so-called Dreamers issue. People who were brought here by their parents as minors, so they weren't the ones that necessarily violated the law. Right now, the law makes no exception for them. They can be deported. They have been prioritized very far down on the list. In fact, they're not even getting deported. Their parents, though, there is a big issue with what happens to their parents if they're law-abiding outside of their violation of the law by they came here illegally. What should happen to them and their extended family? That's that policy issue you have to be clear on. Hillary Clinton is. Her position is those people, as long as they haven't committed other crimes, should have a path to U.S. citizenship. Donald Trump could go a number of ways. He could say, no, we just enforce existing laws, no exceptions. He could also say no path to citizenship, but a path to legal status. That's not going to gain a lot of votes necessarily, but that may be what his position is. It's just a very different shift right now for Donald Trump if he continues down this path of, in his own words, softening.
Yeah, so Logan, from a media perspective, if you were advising a campaign and Donald Trump's got the nomination, he's had the meeting with the Hispanic leaders.
Right.
There's concern that, you know, some are saying, the headlines are saying softening. How do you posture this? Or is this a shift?
Well, I think you may realize that your core group may go with you regardless of what you have to say.
Which I think is exactly what's
happening.
And
I think that's happening with the Trump campaign. He could, you know, he made those kind of horrible jokes early on. It's like, I could do anything pretty much, and they would still support me. And I think that's probably true. I think if you would, I'm sure if he repealed everything and pulled back, you'd have some people backlash. But at least the majority of voters understand there has to be a middle ground to win the general.
Yep. And I think, his supporters are more about his personality than his policy positions. It's why when he's made these shifts and we've tried to talk about him, no one cares about policy. It's kind of disturbing to me because that's important. But they care more about his personality and tone. So he sounds real tough on immigration and then repeats what Hillary Clinton would agree with. I mean, that's the thing. And people need to take that in mind when they decide who they're voting for in the next couple months.
Should we take Shirley's call?
Sure. Let's go to Shirley in Lake Tahoe in Nevada.
Hey, Shirley.
Hi there, guys. I was originally a Ted Cruz supporter.
Yeah.
And on this very issue, as a legal immigrant in this country, and I'm sure there are many of other legal immigrants out there that feel the same way, having a different route to go on, I feel that the softening on his initial immigration policy is going to lead down the road. Well, it starts with the illegal immigration and then how it filters down with national security. It then goes towards our education, the medical system.
So are you concerned, Shirley, are you concerned about we're not saying the word softening, but the press is.
He used the word softening.
Are you concerned about that?
I am concerned because I think that this initially he was very definite in what he was going to do, and now I find that he's not too sure.
So,
and I think for many people this is it borders on national security, and that's
Here's the thing. I think what Logan said is also correct, that he's trying to pivot to the general, making this pivot to the general election. The question is, and you were originally a Cruz supporter, is it going to impact these others? Or is it too late?
Is it just too confusing? Donald Trump confusing independent voters about where he stands. Not so much his core support, but independent voters who need policy positions. They actually do vote on policy positions and how you propose them. And having this back and forth right now with Sean Hannity may have worked 6 months ago. When he's talking to Sean Hannity right now, it should be, this is my policy.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be talking about some of this. And also, we're going to be having Wes Smith on to talk about this Humabedin and a little issue with, let's call it, how to handle national security data.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Abedin left classified material unsecured in the front seat of her car, which was in India. I'm not making this up. This is a report in the Daily Caller. It's from those emails that were released. We're going to get to that in a moment with Colonel Wes Smith, our senior policy advisor on military affairs. Before we do that, we do have a couple calls on the immigration matter. I want to get those really quickly. Let's go to Susan in North Carolina. Susan, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yep. My opinion on it, Zucker, really quick, is that I think he might be softening, maybe clarifying his yep. position because of the change in his campaign, who's over his campaign. I'm yep. in a lot of online debate groups, and Hispanics really, really don't like him.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a tonality issue. I'm going to really quickly here, Jordan, your response, and then fans, and we're going to
yeah,
move on.
The yeah, the truth is he could soften this for some independent voters, for actual Hispanic voters who are concerned about this issue.
Yeah.
It's not all Hispanic voters. Many are yeah. legal immigrants
right.
or were born in our country, have been here for generations longer than some of us, and their families have been here. So this is not all Hispanics.
Yep.
But I'm talking about Hispanics concerned about this issue. They're going to go with Hillary Clinton. She's offering... her proposal is a path to full citizenship. What Donald Trump is proposing potentially in this shift is some kind of legal status. So, again, when it comes to the actual voters, may have some appeal to broader independent voters to soften this immigration stance because it's kind of across the board. But ultimately, I think where it could hurt, though there hasn't been much evidence of it yet, is with Donald Trump's core support. He's been pretty good at keeping them. The question is, do they stay along because they just like him as a personality
yeah.
or because immigration was his number one issue? Or is this enough where he starts using words like softening to say, maybe not?
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to find out soon enough. Let me go to this Hume Abedin story because this has got me concerned. Because, again, this is classified information that Hume Abedin, I'm sure, the highest level of security clearance. She leaves classified material unsecured in the front seat of a car. This is material that should have been what they called burned. Wes, you've handled classified material at the Pentagon and other places you've been as a colonel in the military. What happened? What does this mean? Because the State Department's Foreign Affairs Manual provides rules related to burning of agency materials and records. One section of that manual states that only classified materials should be burned, and then there's actually burn bags. Tell everybody right. what this is and why this, again, is another significant issue here.
Yeah, all across the federal government, there are what we call burn bags. They're large brown bags with big orange stripes, so you can't mistake them for anything else. And classified information, as well as sensitive information, is supposed to be placed in that. Usually about once a week, all across D.C., trucks show up. You take someone who has a clearance. You take the burn bags down to the truck, and they're taken to an incinerator. And that's how it normally operates.
And the burn bag itself is kept in a secured environment.
Yes, it is. Until you take it down to the truck, which hauls it away, it is kept in a secure area because this is classified information.
All right.
And there seems to be a general carelessness. You can't really attribute it to lack of knowledge with Hillary Clinton in her inner circle, but a carelessness because even though there are rules and regulations governing burn bags and classified material, most of it is common sense. If something is related to national security, you guard it.
I want to read, though, the email. I mean, this is an email from Hume Abedin to one of her assistants. I'm going to have an ambassador ride on the next drive. There's a bunch of burn stuff in the pocket of my front seat. And then she says, can you put it in the trunk? Now, Fan, you dealt with this as serving a member of Congress. Jordan, you worked inside government. This is serious stuff. Fan, you go first, and then I want Jordan to comment. I mean, you're shaking your head.
Well, I'll use a couple terms. Well, we've used these terms before. It was extremely careless.
Yeah.
It was grossly negligent, and there should probably be prosecution to flow from this. And, I mean, Jay, let me just quickly say, the location of this is the most concerning. They were in India at the time. It's not like they were just outside the State Department inside a secure perimeter. They were in India, and this information was left unsecured.
At a parking lot,
right.
At a shopping center in New Delhi.
Yeah, and to me, you've got the evidence here to prosecute. You've got the emails, and it's clear.
Right.
So it's not just the emails lead to further inquiry. This email proves the violation. Secondly, you talk about that it's in India. There's a driver there. You know, Hume Abedin is not driving herself around India.
No.
So the driver, who probably does not have this kind of classified access, it was already in the seat in the car. And then all she's telling the staff is to go put it in the trunk of the car, which the driver still has access to. So this whole time, it wasn't like she said, run down quickly, grab this bag and make sure it's, you know.
We made a mistake here.
We made a mistake. And then I think maybe no prosecution. Right. But it said, put it in the trunk. Well, okay. But the driver who's taking her around, they offer them money for this. They get paid off, paid off to get this kind of classified information. That's probably the person who has the lowest level of security clearance at the State Department.
Well, and the extreme carelessness seems to pervade her staff.
Yeah,
and when she was in Trinidad, Uma Abedin left Hillary Clinton's schedule on her hotel bedroom with the door unlocked and asked a friend to please go get the secretary's schedule. Just this morning, Jason Chaffetz has sent a letter to the FBI because they've discovered that when the lawyers were going through Hillary Clinton's emails, they left all of the classified material on a thumb drive in a desk drawer at the law office.
So I raised that issue, Thane, remember, early on, that the lawyers getting access to this material in and of itself could be problematic. And now, as Wes just said, that the Jason Chaffetz is referring this over. I mean, at some point, the FBI just can't ignore this stuff.
Well, they can't have it both ways. I mean, because remember, the only way to satisfy the demands of the FBI, they had to say that these lawyers went through each and every email, which we now know to not be true. But the Clinton team, Jay, has already testified that that was indeed the case. So whether or not they went through every single email or just some of them, they still would have had to have security clearance. And clearly some of them didn't. Jason Chaffetz, there's going to be multiple hearings next month, Jay, because you just can't get to all these in one session.
No, and we're going to get involved in that. We're going to provide briefing papers on what the law is on this, because this is outrageous. Let's go ahead and take the call.
Yeah, Terry's calling in from Leesburg, Georgia, on line 4. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Terry.
Thank you. Hey, Jay.
Yep.
I just have a question. I thought we were supposed to have checks and balances in place to protect us from a corrupt government. This has been one of the most corrupt government in our history. The Justice Department, she just says no. The president, he appoints a private prosecutor. He's not going to. He's going to say no. It's like our hands are tied, and we just have to put up with it.
You don't. And we didn't get into it today because we just didn't have time. But don't forget this. I'm holding it in my hand right now. And Wes was going to talk about another one. We'll save that for another day. But this is a lawsuit, Terry, that we filed against the State Department. So when the president's taking these actions, we're getting to the bottom of it, and that requires going to federal court. We're doing it. Now, I do want to ask this to Wes, though, because Terry brings up a valid point. If you were in the Pentagon, and you were, if you were in your stations in your military career and had classified information, and you left it in a hotel room or on the front seat of a car, what would happen to you?
Reprimand, for sure. Probably it would have ended my career, depending what the information was.
If it was this kind of classified information.
Yeah, this kind of classified. There is no tolerance for that kind of carelessness at the Pentagon.
So if this was anybody, it goes back to Jordan, that fundamental thing. I want Jordan Thane really quickly here. This shows that there's a different set of rules applied.
Yeah, it is the Clinton caveat, if you will, as one of their callers mentioned today. I think that they've always gotten away with a different standard, and they've continued to rise to these levels of power. President Bill Clinton, could be a President Hillary Clinton. She's been Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, governors, and they can keep on rising. Nothing seems to stick to them.
So, Thane, your sense of that, too?
Well, the special access goes both ways, too. If you make a donation, you get to see the secretary. And by the way, if you're the attorney general, you are expected to have a meeting with the former president of the United States as well. That special access with the Clintons goes both ways.
It sure does. All right, we're going to take more of your calls on tomorrow's broadcast. Facebook and Periscope, stay with me. I want to talk to you for a moment. But let me say this, folks. We are closing in on our gap on our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Whether it's suing the State Department or defending a CFPB, ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We're close. $26,000 away from catching up, and then let's go ahead. ACLJ.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for